Welcome to Long-Term Care Radio on Seattle's Cairo Radio. Long-Term Care Radio is brought to you in part by 525 Advisors, your local long-term care experts. Brian Ott is a certified long-term care planning specialist and will show you how to protect the people you love from the financial, physical, and emotional consequences of a long-term care situation. Because of new state and federal laws, there are new and exciting options you need to know about. Now, here's your host, Brian Ott.
You know, COVID-19 has impacted Americans in a lot of ways. You know, financially, we've got a good chunk of the country right now that is out of work, and some of those jobs I don't think are ever coming back. Mentally, we know, you know, the stress and the depression everywhere from the kids not being in school all the way to the elderly people that are isolated from the family. It's starting to have quite a toll there mentally. And in some cases, even physically, we've just heard a report on the news this last week about how they're doing a follow-up with a lot of people that are having lingering effects after they've been diagnosed with COVID, joint pain, problems breathing, things like that. But also, it's caused many Americans to re-examine how they want to navigate an extended healthcare situation. Specifically, how do they stay at home if their health is compromised to a point where they need help from others, which, by the way, is the definition of long-term care. It's when we need help from others to get through the day. Now, the desire to stay at home has increased greatly due to COVID-19 outbreak. It appears that the communal living aspect required in assisted living, group homes, and nursing homes brings with it more risk in a pandemic like the one that we are currently in. This new reality has caused many people to reevaluate how and where they want to age. And in fact, nationwide, which, you know, you hear their ads, you see them on TV, Nationwide is on your side. Mutual insurance company just did a recent survey. So they commissioned this survey. And they asked, I think it was a group of about 1,000 people, 995 or something, that they asked all these questions to. And one of the questions was, given a choice of living in a nursing home or death, what would you choose? And folks, this just blows me away. Only 39% of the people chose the nursing home setting. And it's not like nursing home or assisted living or stay at home. The question was nursing home or death. It means two out of three people would rather die than live in a nursing home. Maybe you're one of them. I hear it all the time with my clients. But given the choice, overwhelmingly, the majority of people in an extended healthcare situation or long-term care would prefer to age at home surrounded by loved ones. And to me, this is kind of Captain Obvious, right? I mean, if your choice is, hey, a nursing home or some facility or being at home surrounded by your loved ones, yeah, ding, 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 the golden buzzer answer is stay at home. So why is it that so many people are unable to make that happen? So many people are unable to age in place. I will tell you a secret right now. It's not money. There's plenty of wealthy people that end up in nursing homes and assisted living facilities. So let's be clear. It's a lack of planning for long-term care, which is different than estate planning or retirement planning. Okay? Let's be very clear on this point. It's not estate planning. That is not long-term care planning. In fact, I did a whole show on that last week. Estate planning does not replace the need for long-term care planning. So if you missed that, grab that on our podcast. You can get it at our website at 525longtermcare.com. Long-term care planning includes funding your care and managing your care. And there are important parts to planning for an extended healthcare situation that must be considered if you want to age in place, if you want to stay in your home. Number one, legal, of course, all right? So that's power of attorneys, medical directives, living wills, all those things that you need, that's crucial. So that part of the estate planning is absolutely crucial to long-term care planning as well. Then we also have to look at the financing or the funding, having a source of funds to pay for your care in a time of need. And again, assets do not pay for care. Income pays for care. In fact, I want to get bumper stickers and send those out to people because that's the confusion out there. I've got $3 million. Well, how's that $3 million set up? Well, it's real estate. It's retirement accounts. It's some interest in a business. Well, those assets aren't going to pay for care. Income is what pays for care. So you need that dedicated source of funds. Which funds am I going to tap? How am I going to get that money turned on when I need it? You also have to take in implementation, executing. Who's going to put that plan in place? And who's going to manage the ongoing care? How is all of that going to happen? And finally, when it comes to long-term care planning, we have to think about the location. Where and how are you going to receive your care? Have you prepared your home? Most people say, hey, I want to age in home, but if you live in a split level where you got to go up steps to get to the front door, and then once you're inside the front door, you got to go up steps or down steps, you know, that can be a problem if you're having, you know, issues with transferring. So again, there's a lot of issues that we've got to talk about here when we're planning for long-term care, but today we're going to spend some time talking about how does long-term care insurance work and how does it help you stay at home. And this show is going to be dedicated to Carolyn down in Lacey, who has a great question of the week. We're going to get to that when we come back from our first break here, and we'll spend some time talking about long-term care insurance planning and how that helps you stay at home. Now, also today, I've got a great client of the week. I'm going to show you how we set up a plan that will pay for informal care. And at the end of the show, the last segment, I'm going to go back over the difference between formal care and informal care. This is very important for you to know. Formal care versus informal care. So we're going to wrap all that up in the show today as well, too. So stick around. We're going to head into our first break. And when we come back, we'll discuss how long-term care planning helps you stay in your home. We'll be right back.
Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott, providing valuable insight to protect you in the event of an extended healthcare situation. Learn more by attending one of Brian's free classes this month. Sign up now at 525longtermcare.com. 525longtermcare.com.
You know, we can't always count on great health as we age. That's why I cannot overstate the peace of mind I feel having long-term care coverage for me and my wife. If you've been thinking about it, but you have some questions, this is a great time to get answers. Join my friends from 525 Advisors for one of their free long-term care planning live webinars they have coming up. At the webinar, they'll explain how long-term care works, what the coverage pays for, and you'll discover all the new options and different ways to fund a plan. And then when you're ready, 525 Advisors, they are the best in the country. And I know that because my wife and I went through the whole process with Brian and Madeline, and man, they take great care of their customers. Check out all their reviews. People love working with Brian and Madeline at 525 Advisors. So sign up today, 525longtermcare.com. Join them for one of their upcoming live webinars. The class is free. All you have to do is go to 525longtermcare.com, 525longtermcare.com.
For the most options, including new plans that protect you and your loved ones and pay you back if you never use them, visit 525longtermcare.com to learn more and sign up for the next live webinar with Brian Ott. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
Hey, it's Dory Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Staying in control of your care options is a better alternative than letting the government decide for you. Welcome back to Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott, certified long-term care planning specialist with 525 Advisors.
And welcome back to Long-Term Care Radio. I am Brian Ott, founder and host of Long-Term Care Radio and founder of 525 Advisors, located over in Bellevue, Washington. You just heard some ads. We've actually got a couple of classes coming up in January. They are on the calendar. They are on our website now. Our first class will be Saturday morning, January 16th at 9 a.m. So we're going back to Saturdays, and I appreciate all the feedback. We've been doing some during the week and in the afternoon, but a lot more of our listeners are sending us notes saying, hey, I had to cut it short because I was at work. So we're going to go back to a Saturday morning at 9 a.m. This is when we used to do all the physical in-person classes. We're going to just do the same class over the web, so 9 o'clock. And then the following Friday on the 22nd, we're going to repeat that class Friday morning, the 22nd at 9 a.m. So you have a couple of different choices for January. And those are on our website right now at 525longtermcare.com. And again, by the way, when you're if you're new to Long-Term Care Radio, we have our podcast on our website. We have all the information that we're talking about. We have resources. We have a lot of information on that website as well. We just really promote these classes because I think it's a great way to get in and learn and then get your questions answered, because the way the format is set up is I'm going to go through the material. And at the end of the class, I'm going to stick around and answer your questions. You can just type them in now and send them through. And Madeline will be there as well, too, to help make sure that we get all your questions answered. So our question of the week this week came from Carolyn down in Lacey. And Carolyn asked, are there long-term care plans that will allow me to stay in my home and receive care? I would like to avoid moving if I can. So again, does long-term care insurance allow me to stay at home? I don't want to move. Yeah, that's a great question, right? And Carolyn, the short answer to this question is absolutely. In fact, all the plans that we place with our clients today allow you to receive your care in your home. In fact, I have never, ever placed a client in a plan that did not pay for home health care services. And the reason for that is because the data tells us that over 2 out of 3 people that trigger a long-term care insurance plan, they do that when they're residing in their own home. That's just the way it works. So home care is crucial. Now, that being said, this is still a very relevant question because as we talked about at the beginning of the show, staying at home is more on people's mind than ever due to COVID-19 and the outbreaks that we all witnessed in nursing homes, right? I mean, here in Kirkland, Washington, that was one of the first big outbreaks at that nursing home. And then you saw the same thing in New York. I have a good friend in Colorado. He lost his aunt and his uncle in a nursing home due to COVID out in New York. So, yes, how do we stay at home? We want to avoid moving if we can. Yes, that's the whole idea, Carolyn, of having a long-term care insurance plan. But there's a reason why people still ask this question. And let's do a quick history here. If we go back into the early 70s, I think it was 1974 when the Fireman's Fund came out with kind of the first quote-unquote long-term care insurance policy. And long-term care insurance back then was simply for what we called the nursing homes. It was defined as a facility that provided skilled nursing care. So a facility-only policy, that's where that definition came from. And they developed like that because there really wasn't other options back then. So my great-grandmother, Julia Slatch, she lived in Creed, Colorado, and she stayed in her own home there for as long as she could, and the family helped out. And then when it finally got to the point where it wasn't a safe environment, they drove her 30 miles down the road to Del Norte, Colorado, and that's where she went to a nursing home. And that was pretty much the standard. The family would do as much as they could, and then you got to that point where, you know, we had to go to a nursing home. There was no in-between, right? But today, we have so many more choices for care, including, you know, adult family homes, adult daycare where you can just go down for a few hours at a time or like 8 hours at a time. We have assisted living facilities. We have continuing care retirement centers. We have special memory facilities for those people that are suffering from memory losses or Alzheimer's or dementia. We have nursing homes, of course, are still in existence out there, and we have hospice care. But most importantly, what we have today that we didn't have in the 70s is we have home health care agencies, companies that specialize in bringing people into your home to provide the care that you need, so that you can stay in your own home when you end up in an extended healthcare situation. Now, Along the way, keep in mind that the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, so that's like we all have an insurance commissioner out in Washington State. It's Mike Creedler. Every state has an insurance commissioner. And the National Association of Insurance Commissioners is generally made up of people that were at one point maybe an insurance commissioner. And so they form these panels and they get together and they spend time on health insurance and life insurance and all these different insurance, homeowners insurance, and they set guidelines and rules. And so along the way, the NAIC went to work and they started writing new rules and guidelines to reflect the different care options that were coming on board, that were available. And eventually the guidelines were changed to make comprehensive long-term care plans the standard and requiring insurance companies to offer this option. Now, what I mean by comprehensive is it just simply means that it has to pay for care in a wide variety of settings, basically different settings that are available. So in your own home, in the assisted living facility, and the continuing care retirement center, whatever it is. But most importantly, pay for care at home. Now, keep in mind, today there are still a few companies that offer a facility-only policy. Okay, but they are required to offer a comprehensive plan as well. Now, a facility-only policy, again, is a policy that is generally written and defined as receiving care in a facility, and most of those back in the day said skilled nursing. So you had to have somebody available for 24/7 for skilled nursing. Well, even adult family homes don't have that. They may have somebody there 24 hours a day, but they don't have a skilled nurse on call. So that was a problem with some of those older policies. Now, again, we've never placed a person with a facility policy, but we've seen many quotes for them. And they're still popular. They're still really popular through group or employer-sponsored plans because the cost of a facility policy is a fraction of the cost of on these group plans if they do a facility-only policy. So basically, if I'm the employer and I want to offer a benefits, right? So I say, hey, you've got, all the Gatorade you can drink, a free pool table, life insurance, health insurance, and long-term care insurance, right? Those are benefits that I'm offering my employees to attract them. Well, my goal is to get that benefit there to make the package look attractive. It's not necessarily to get the best coverage. So a lot of these companies would lean towards the facility-only policy, and they'll say, hey, we'll pay for the facility-only policy. The employee could maybe pay more money to get like a comprehensive plan, but most of them don't. So they'll just say, oh, I've got coverage, but it boils down to just if you end up in a facility only. Now, the old saying goes, you get what you pay for. And very few of the facility policies will benefit a person when they go on claim because very few people that have long-term care insurance end up in a nursing home. And the vast majority will start their journey in their home. And if you have long-term care insurance, the majority of those people will end up being able to stay in their home. That's what the data tells us. Now, the second most popular location for receiving care, of course, is an assisted living facility. And quite frankly, as more and more of these facilities come on board and they start making more robust offerings in these assisted living facilities, some people are choosing to move from their home to the assisted living facility. And that's the path that my grandmother took. She started her journey at home, and after a couple years, she moved to an assisted living facility where she had a better quality of life. She had more interaction with people. She had a social life, and so she really enjoyed that. But again, a lot of the facility-only policies will not cover assisted living facilities because there's not a skilled nurse on there 24/7. So you just got to be very careful. But that being said, most all of the policies today that we see out there are comprehensive. And legally, that insurance carrier, if they're going to offer a facility-only policy, they still have to offer a comprehensive policy. Now, that doesn't mean that I have to buy the comprehensive policy. As the client, I can buy whatever I want, but I have never placed anybody in that facility-only policy. So back to Carolyn's question. Yes, the plans today allow us to stay at home, to bring that care in, but it's also going to allow us to receive care in a wide variety of settings, whether that's adult daycare, an assisted living facility, a continuing care retirement center. You're seeing a lot of these places where people are moving in for that's independent living, but then they also have the skilled care there on campus, or they have the assisted living benefits available as well, too. Now, remember, long-term care insurance, when you're at home, allows you to pay for the help you need to age in place. It provides a tax-free stream of income to pay for covered services. Now, what does that mean, covered services? Let's spend a second on this. The number one thing that long-term care insurance pays for across the country, without doubt, about $3 out of $4 is spent on what we call custodial care. That's the care you need to get through the day. So remember, we can trigger a long-term care plan in one of two ways, either a cognitive impairment or a physical impairment. The physical impairment is when we need help with 2 out of 6 activities of daily living. So that's your bathing, dressing, eating, help toileting, transferring, your activities of daily living, the things that we do every day. When I need help with any two of those, I trigger a claim. Well, that's really what the custodial care is covered, right? If I'm at home, I'm helping mom transfer, maybe I'm helping her get in and out of the shower, make sure that she doesn't fall, whatever it is. Those are the custodial care. That's the number one thing that long-term care insurance pays for. That's a covered service. However, we go down a rung, it's also going to pay for skilled care. So think of that as, you know, I have the massive stroke, I spend the 2 weeks in the hospital nursing home, and I come home, but I still need therapy. I need speech therapy. I need to learn how to chew and to swallow again. Maybe I need to learn how to use the left side of my body, whatever it is. That physical therapy is also covered by long-term care insurance, as well as skilled nursing. So maybe I have an autoimmune disease and maybe I require special medications or a skilled nurse, or I'm on a ventilator, whatever it is. That skilled nurse, if it needs to be there, long-term care insurance is going to pay for that as well too. And also keep in mind the personal care. This is what people often forget. Personal care, meal preparation, light housework, grocery shopping, medication management, help with the mail, help with paying the bills. All of that stuff is going to fall under the umbrella of long-term care insurance. So again, the goal is to age in place, to stay at home, but maybe I'm to the point where I can't physically drive anymore, which means I can't go to the grocery store, but I can have somebody go out and do that grocery shopping with me, and that long-term care insurance is going to cover that, and they're going to come in and do some light housework and some meal preparation, and maybe they're only there for 4 hours a day, or maybe they're there for 8 hours a day. Whatever it is, you are in control of that. When you have long-term care insurance, you can hire that help and bring that in. And some of the plans also pay for home improvement, believe it or not. So the plan that I have actually gives me 2 times my monthly benefit. So I have $16,000 that I can use to build a wheelchair ramp, to put a stair lift in, to use grab handles, whatever it takes to make my home a nice, safe environment. So again, are you prepared? We're going back to that earlier in the show. If you're thinking about long-term care planning, you need to think about your housing. Have you done what you need to do to prepare your home for that? Well, some of these people, if they have a sudden stroke, they were fine yesterday, they have a stroke today, now they need a wheelchair ramp, we can bring some funds in to help get that done. And also, there's some caregiving benefits in some of these long-term care plans as well, too. And where that really is helpful is maybe you have a loved one that is still working, and but they can take care of you most of the day, but you know, you have somebody, a caretaker, coming in during the day. Maybe your loved one needs to do a little bit of training to understand how to manage the medications or whatever it is. So all of that is part of things that are covered by long-term care insurance so that it helps you age in place. Now, even some of the better carriers out there also provide their team of professionals, and this is what I love about what I do, because this is really what's important. I told you, when my house burned down, the insurance company didn't just show up and give us a sack full of money. They showed up with a clipboard, they took notes, they got permits, they got rid of the old structure, they knew how to do that, they knew how to get the contractors, they just took care of things. So that's where the team of specialists come in, like care coordination, case management, claim specialists. My plan that I have, and one of our most popular plans, has a concierge service. That means they assign one person to you inside the insurance company so that you and your family can call, you know, if it's Peggy, you're going to call Peggy every time. They're not going to be reading notes and getting somebody new on the phone. They're going to be actually your person. They're going to know what's going on, and they're there to help you manage your claim. So those are all things that come in that are really important. And I will tell you, one of the starkest memories that I have is when our house burned down. It was January in Southern Colorado. I was 10. It was freezing cold. And my brother and myself and my baby brother and my dad were standing out in the driveway, and all we had on were the clothes that we had on our back. That was it, because the upstairs burned, and that's where my brother and I stayed. But we woke up the next day someplace else. And it was a shock. And that's what happens to so many people in long-term care situations. They end up, they have that fall, and then they're told they can't go home, their environment's not safe. Yet all of us want to be in our own home. So that, I tell you right there, is why long-term care planning is so important. If you want to stay at home, having a plan in place is what's really going to help you make that happen. Stick around. We're going to head into our next break. And when I come back, I got a great client of the week that I'm going to go over with you. We'll be right back to Long-Term Care Radio.
Many people with near or over $1 million in assets will mistakenly pay more in taxes in a long-term care situation than it would have cost them to set up an insurance plan to pay for the care needed. Learn more by attending Brian's free asset-based class. Sign up now at 525longtermcare.com.
You know, we can't always count on great health as we age. That's why I cannot overstate the peace of mind I feel having long-term care coverage for me and my wife. If you've been thinking about it, but you have some questions, this is a great time to get answers. Join my friends from 525 Advisors for one of their free long-term care planning live webinars they have coming up. At the webinar, they'll explain how long-term care works, what the coverage pays for, and you'll discover all the new options and different ways to fund a plan. And then when you're ready, 525 Advisors, they are the best in the country. And I know that because my wife and I went through the whole process with Brian and Madeline, and man, they take great care of their customers. Check out all their reviews. People love working with Brian and Madeline at 525 Advisors. So sign up today, 525longtermcare.com. Join them for one of their upcoming live webinars. The class is free. All you have to do is go to 525longtermcare.com, 525longtermcare.com.
Hey, it's Zach Abraham with Bulwark Capital Management and host of Know Your Risk Radio. You know, something we never really talk about on the show, and I don't know if you've noticed this, but is long-term care. And we never talk about it because we don't sell it. We're licensed to, but we don't. You want to know why? Because it's really intricate and complicated, and we're not trying to be a jack of all trades and a master of none. We want to focus on your investments. That's where we believe that we bring value. For long-term care insurance, which I think is very important, can be a good fit, maybe not right for some people, but if you have questions about long-term care insurance, do what we do, right? You know what we do? We call Brian Ott, 525 Advisors. Why? Not because he and I are both on the radio show. We started using Brian, referring it out for our clients, because he knows it inside and out. Go to 525longtermcare.com. You can contact Brian. You can sign up for one of his events. I couldn't be a bigger fan. Take advantage of it. You need long-term care. Brian's the guy to go to.
Are you confused about the best way to protect your family and savings? Get answers now by listening to Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott, certified long-term care planning specialist with 525 Advisors.
And welcome back to Long-Term Care Radio, and thanks again for tuning in. You know, if you're new to Long-Term Care Radio, we are on the air every Saturday, and again, 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock on two different stations in the Seattle area, and then I'm on at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday, and again on Sunday at noon. And if you miss part of the radio show, you can always get our podcast, and that is available on our website at 525longtermcare.com, or just go to iTunes, or you can even ask Alexa to play Long-Term Care Radio, and they will pull up those podcasts for you. Because I think where the podcasts come in really helpful is when we get to the part here now that we are a client of the week, and that's really where we're going to talk about how we designed a plan, what was important to the people, and kind of get into the numbers a little bit. So that's what we're going to do right now. And I've got a great client of the week. This week it's Lisa, who is 60 years old. And just a quick background on Lisa. She's very healthy, still working, married. Her husband is not eligible for long-term care insurance due to some pre-existing health conditions. So he is out. So we are just putting a plan in place for her. They have three grown children that they are very close to, and she is planning on working until age 65, and then she will have a pension and Social Security when she retires, and her husband will have Social Security and the retirement savings, of course, that he's put together. So, excuse me, I just dropped my notes here, so I'm doing this here in my office recording the show, but basically, Lisa, you know, her biggest concern is she is afraid that if she ends up in a long-term care situation, that she could, A, end up being a burden on her children, or worse, end up in a Medicaid nursing home or something. Because so she's running all the scenarios in her head. Her husband is not eligible for long-term care. So if he goes into a long-term care situation, and let's say he ends up in a facility, she said, what if he ends up in a facility? And we have to pay for that. She goes, we will whittle our savings down very quickly, and that's not going to leave me any money. And so then I'm going to end up either being a burden on my kids or end up on Medicaid. And so that's a real situation there, right? And then she also said, but if I end up in a long-term care situation first, my husband's not in a situation where he would be able to provide all the care I need. So again, we would burn through the savings, and then that could very well leave him without any money and leave him in a situation where he ends up on Medicaid. So, you know, she was spot on her thinking process on this. And this is what we always look at. When we have one spouse that cannot get coverage, we have to assume that, you know, your estate's at risk at that point. You can go and do the estate planning. But again, we talked about that last week, like a spousal protection trust, or a safe harbor trust, or an AB trust, or a pass-through trust, whatever you want to call them. You know, that works if the first person dies. But if the first person doesn't die, the assets are still at risk. You're paying for that care. And so that's exactly where Lisa's at. Now, we went through all this. One of her her biggest concern, of course, was she really wanted to stay in control of her situation. Her kids were like, oh, Mom, you can live with us. Nothing will happen. But she's like, well, it very well could be I could be gone first, and it could be her husband. So she just wanted to make sure that they had some kind of coverage for her that would benefit either way. Now, the other thing that we wanted to talk about was, okay, you want to put a plan in place. How do you want to fund this plan? What type of plan do you want? Because of her excellent health, we had a lot of options. We could do a traditional pay-as-you-go plan. We could do an asset-based plan. We could do over time. We could do, you know, 5-pay, 10-pay, 20-pay. We could do a lump sum pay. There were all kinds of options on that. And ideally, what it came down to is she said, look, if I don't use my plan, it'd be nice to get that money back to my estate, give it back to my kids. You know, that's what I'd like to do. And the reason why she was so specific about this, because Lisa had just inherited a little bit of money from her mom. And she said, this isn't money that we were counting on. So if I can use that money, but if I don't use that money, I would like to pass that on just like my mom passed it on to me. I'd like that to go back down to my kids. So we started looking at that, and I said, okay, let's look at your situation financially. What do we have? How can we fund these plans? Well, what she had $117,000, basically just sitting in cash right now. That was money that she just inherited. And it was money that she just really wasn't planning on using for anything. And her husband said, yeah, we don't really need that money. So that would be a good source to pay into a plan. And ideally, Lisa said, can we just move that money into a plan so we don't have ongoing payments, so we don't have to worry about making payments in the future? And I said, absolutely. That's exactly what we can do. So that's what we did. We looked at the different carriers out there. And again, because of Lisa's situation, there's two things that really stood out in my mind. Number one, her husband is uninsurable. And she said that, you know, most likely I will have to step into that role if he's, you know, needs some help. I will probably be the caregiver if I can provide that help. And my kids will probably pitch in and help out as well, too. So she kind of already has that thought process going. But what if something happens to her and she's not there to help her husband? Maybe she's in a long-term care situation now. Well, her husband really doesn't have the ability to provide all the help that she needs. So again, it should be a burden to her family, or that have to put her somewhere, or that have to spend a lot of their money down that they would use for her husband later in life. So we went through these different scenarios, and I looked at it and said, okay, out of all the different carriers out there, this is a carrier that I want you to really focus in on, because it's going to allow us two things. It's going to allow us, number one, a cash benefit, and number two, that cash benefit is going to allow you to pay for informal care, which means that you can hire somebody yourself. And again, stick around, because at the end of the show, I'm going to go through the definitions of formal versus informal care. So we went through, there's a couple of companies out there. There's actually three asset-based companies that we work with that offer cash benefits. That means that when you go on claim, they give you the full benefit, you get the money, and you can go hire who you want. It can be through an agency, or it can be a family member. It doesn't matter. But the other nice thing about this is they have a wide variety of funding options. And again, Lisa said, ideally, what can I do if I just take this money that I inherited and reposition that can I then get long-term care and not have to worry about not pay anything for that? And so that's exactly what we did. We took a single deposit of $117,000. And again, this was the money that she inherited. So it was just sitting there in cash at this point. What that does for Lisa is it gives her an initial benefit. So think of a bucket of money. Her bucket of money has $400,000 in it, $400,023 to be exact, but just let's round it to $400,000. That's how much long-term care insurance she has today. The second thing that you figure out on this is how long you want to last, meaning how fast can you take that money out? She can take $5,154 out each month starting today. So that's her monthly benefit. So this plan is going to last her a minimum of 6 years, meaning that if she goes on claim today, she's going to have $5,154 a month coming in for 6 years. And folks, if you do the math without interest, that's how much you have to save in 6 years, $5,154 a month. That's what you have to save to get to $400,000. It's just the simple math. That's what long-term care insurance is. Now, this plan also includes a 3% inflation rider. So when you think of a rider, we call it a rider because it rides on top of the policy. The policy says, hey, I'll pay $5,154 a month, but we're going to add this rider to the policy, which says, hey, now the $400,000 is going to grow by 3%, and the $5,154 is going to grow by 3% every year. So just think of it as a compounding factor. And so what that means for Lisa is, again, she's only 60 years old. So if we go out 20 years, she'll have $701,000 in her bucket of money, and she'll have $9,000 that she can pull out. If you go out 25 years, she's got $10,476 a month of benefit, or $813,000 in total benefit in her bucket. You know, and what happens if she's like my grandma out, you know, it starts her journey close to 90. If she's here at 89 years old, 30 years old out, she has $942,000 in her bucket of money. She can pull out $12,145 a month. So $144,000 a year when she's 90 for 6 years. All of that is guaranteed. That's the benefit, right? That's what we get when we buy long-term care insurance. Now, the other thing to keep in mind with this policy for her is that the policy also has a $123,000 return of premiums, just structured as a death benefit. So it doesn't matter if she goes out and gets hit by the bus tomorrow and she's gone, $123,000 check is written to the family. If she dies 30 years down the road and she doesn't use the plan, $123,000 is written back to the family. There's no growth on the death benefit because that's not what we bought it for. That's just simply a return of premium feature. Where the growth is on the long-term care insurance. That's the benefit. That's why we got this plan. It's not so that if I die, I get more money back. It's so that if I go into long-term care, I have this tax-free stream of income coming in to pay for that care. So she has that $123,000 death benefit, but this is where it gets very interesting. Let's assume that she goes on claim. I don't care. Let's just go out and say 30 years down the road. And she spends all $942,000. She's on claim for over 6 years, and she spends all $942,000, exhausts her policy, uses every dollar benefit, then she passes away. Well, when she passes away, she is still going to have money coming back to the estate because this policy has what we call a guaranteed minimum death benefit. It's $24,737. So again, she paid $117 in. So net cost, take out interest, growth, and opportunity costs, all that. She put $117 in. She's going to get $24,000 back even if she uses all of her long-term care insurance. I call that the funeral fund. So we know that, hey, when I die, I'm still going to get $24,000 back. So really the net cost of this plan to her in true just dollars is $92,000. And folks, that's, you know, these plans don't have to be complicated. Again, we're just simply taking a chunk of money out of one pocket and we're putting it back in the other pocket. Now, this particular plan has all kinds of features. You can put some different riders on there. You can have full return of premium after 5 years. You can have full return of premium after 10 years. That's if you cancel the plan. That wasn't important to Lisa. She's like, look, I'm not going to use this money for anything but long-term care. And if I die, the $123,000 is just passed on to my kids. So those are the beneficiaries. That's what we just put that into the policy. So she has got a plan that's really going to protect her. And what I like about this plan, number one, you know, she can pay a family member for informal care. I really like that aspect about this. This plan is going to give Lisa the most flexibility. Now, remember, her husband is uninsurable. We've got a situation right now where we just turned on a claim for a gentleman who is basically the caregiver for his wife. Now, he broke his leg. Now, he's got to receive care. So what's happening? He's got caregivers coming in, and they're providing care for him. She was uninsurable at the time. Well, in this situation, Lisa's just going to get the check. So imagine that she is providing care for her husband. She's in that caregiver role, and then something happens to her, and she ends up needing care. Well, guess what? She's just going to start getting that check. So, you know, depending on where it is, you know, down the road, maybe it's $9,000, $10,000 a month of cash coming in. She can use that to provide care for her husband as well, too, because it's a cash benefit plan. So I really like that. And this is a one and done. There's no payments. There's nothing to remember about doing anything. We just reposition some money and put it in another pocket. It's coming back to her guaranteed either way. She's going to get more money back guaranteed either way. And she still gets a couple's discount. Some carriers do this. Some carriers don't. But if there's two people living in the house, or a couple's, they call it. You don't have to be legally married. But a couple's discount would basically, if she didn't have that, her starting benefit, if she was just a single person, instead of $5,000 a month, would be $4,600 a month. So she's getting $500 more benefit right out of the gate because she gets that discount. Even though her husband's uninsurable, they still give her the discount. So I really like this plan for some of those features and things that it does on that. And again, when you think about this plan, what she's really done is she's taken an inherited asset. She just repositioned it. It's still her asset. It's still going to go on to her family if she doesn't use it. But gosh, if she does need this, she's going to flip that switch and she is going to have that stream of income. She's going to have that dedicated source of money to pay for care in a time of need. And she can pay, you know, the home health care agencies to come into her home. If she moves in with one of her kids and her husband's gone, she can pay her kids. She's just got max flexibility with this. The trade-off, what did she give up on this policy? I will just tell you that the insurance company is not going to provide a lot of, you know, a lot of services, the case management, the care coordination, things like that. But that being said, she has the funds now that she can, when she calls us to turn that claim on, we are just going to simply hire one of the care coordinators for her, and she has the funds to pay for that. So, again, just a really neat plan. And, again, we have lots more examples on our website. You can always get those there. Stick around. We're going to head into our final break. And when we come back, let's spend a little bit of time talking about formal versus informal care. We'll be right back.
Due to recent changes in the Pension Protection Act, new asset-based plans guarantee a tax-free benefit for long-term care and pay you back with interest if you never use it. Learn more and sign up for one of Brian's free classes at 525longtermcare.com.
Hi, this is Brian Ott with 525 Advisors and host of Long-Term Care Radio here on Cairo Radio. When the holiday season comes around, most of us look forward to spending time with family and reconnecting. COVID has changed things this year, and many of us might not get to spend time with our family like we usually do. But that doesn't mean we aren't thinking about them, and in many cases, worrying about them. Have you ever thought about what would happen if one of your parents ended up in an extended healthcare situation? Are they prepared? More importantly, are you? See, nearly two-thirds of adults receiving long-term care services are depending on family members for that care, bringing financial, physical, and emotional consequences with it. If you haven't talked to your parents about what would happen if they needed care, now is a great time to bring up the conversation. We can show you how to get a plan that will help pay for and manage an extended care situation, and we even have plans that pay you back if you never use them. Learn more at 525longtermcare.com. 525longtermcare.com.
Take the burden off your loved ones by making sure your care is funded and managed in a time of need. Visit 525longtermcare.com to learn more and sign up for the next live webinar with Brian Ott. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing.
Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
This is Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott. Listen and learn information from a certified long-term care planning specialist. You can email your questions to radio at 525advisors.com.
And welcome back, and thanks for sticking around to Long-Term Care Radio. On holy cow, the week before Christmas, believe it or not, Christmas is next Friday, so... very Merry Christmas to all of you out there. I think we're going to keep it small again like we did Thanksgiving. But, you know, best Christmas present in the world for me would be to get this vaccine out and have it work and try to get back to, you know, some sort of normalcy so that we can see our family and do the things, be around the people that we care about, because that's really what it's all about. But anyway, welcome back. Again, we have two classes on the calendar for January. So if you would, we always recommend coming to a class, a webinar now is what they are. But the idea is get the 101 basics, what long-term care is, what it pays for, where it pays for care, the different choices between asset-based and traditional, how you trigger a plan, how plans are paid, all those things that we talk about in radio. We kind of compact that into a little 45-minute presentation, and then I answer your questions, and you just type them in now. Instead of raising your hand, you just type them in on your phone or your keyboard or whatever you're watching the webinar on. And I will answer those questions, and you're going to learn a lot from the other questions that are asked. That's one of the best things about the classes, so that's why we still do it this way. But again, Saturday the 16th at 9 a.m., and then Friday the 22nd at 9 a.m. So the following Friday at 9 a.m. as well, too. Two morning classes in January. And by the way, it's super easy. I was invited to a Microsoft Teams program yesterday, webinar thing, and my computer was kicking back, and I didn't want to do it, and all these problems, and you run into that with Zoom and these things. We don't have that. You're going to simply get a link, and you click on it. That's it. You don't have to download software. You don't have to do any executable, they call it, on a computer. You just simply click on the link, and you watch it. You can watch it on your smart TV if you want to. So anyway, super, super easy, but you can get that information at 525longtermcare.com. So our client of the week, Lisa, her plan was a plan that pays cash benefits. So that means it doesn't require receipts when you turn your long-term care insurance. It's not reimbursing you. Like my plans are reimbursement. That means that healthcare workers send a receipt to the insurance company and they send the money back to me or they pay them directly. Cash benefit plans, they just send you the check. And so to speak, the trade-off on that is, you know, the house burns down, they show up and they drop a sack full of money on your porch and off you go. So, I mean, if you're a contractor and your wife works at the county, can get the permits and all those things, well, yeah, I guess that would be okay too. But the idea with the cash benefit is also gives you a tremendous amount of flexibility, which means you can pay for informal care. And I want to just spend a minute talking about informal versus formal care. Informal care is generally a family member that is unpaid. I mean, statistics bear it out. In this country, 2 out of 3 people receive long-term care services from family members, and vast majority of those family members are unpaid, right? We're just doing what we're supposed to do, helping out a loved one. But it can be it doesn't have to be a family member. Informal care can also be, you know, it could be a family member that's paid. It can also be a private healthcare worker. You hired somebody. Maybe you hired somebody that had a nursing background and you're just paying them directly. So that can be informal care too, meaning they weren't hired through an agency. You didn't call that home healthcare agency and hire that person. So that's really just a private hire. Well, that's informal care as well too. Now, formal care is when we go through a licensed agency. So whether that's a home health care agency that's coming into our home, like Stay at Home or Visiting Angels or any of those that you hear out there, or if it's going to a adult family home, assisted living facility, any type of licensed facility, that is formal care. Now, there's advantages and disadvantages to both. It's like everything. I tell people in life, there's two sides of the coin. You always got to flip it over. Cash benefits allow us to pay for informal care. So that's like the client of the week. They're just going to give you the cash. You can also pay your family members. You can hire somebody privately. And if you move to a facility, it doesn't matter because that money's just deposited into your bank. And so you're just, you know, you're having your power of attorney just write the check every month. You just have that dedicated source. So that's what a cash benefit does. It can be very advantageous in the right circumstances. And it sounds really great, but remember, you become an employer when you hire somebody to pay for care, okay? The money you receive is tax-free for long-term care. The IRS basically gives us a what they call a per diem limit for these cash benefit plans, and that's going to go up to $400 next year, $400 a day. So you're really talking $12,000 a month. You know, so Lisa's well under that. You know, her starting benefit's $5,000, and that per diem limit goes up every year. So even with the inflation rider, she's not going to bump up against that per diem limit. So the IRS is going to say, hey, we're going to leave you alone. You can receive up to $400 a day to pay for care through a cash benefit policy. If you're receiving more, it's still tax-free, but you just have to be able to prove that you spent the money on care services. So, but again, remember, if you are receiving that cash and you hire somebody, you become an employer. And now there's some legal issues there as well, too. And I was just reading in one of my magazines where a gentleman had hired one of his neighbor's daughters as she was at college out for the summer, and he hired her to be a home health care worker, and he fell on her while she was helping him transfer, broke a few of her ribs. It ended up being a suit because now she couldn't work, and that she, you know, disability and L&I, and it just becomes a mess. And the vast majority of people are not going to set up a formal contract when they have cash benefits, right? They're going to pay under the table. And then you have all the other issues. You have the IRS issues. You know, it's just like if you're paying for maid service and you're paying them just cash under the table, and then you get caught, like all the politicians every year, that, you know, they always somehow, the mightier than thou politicians that all have these, oh yeah, I was hiring this illegal immigrant to clean my house and I was paying them cash under the table, you know, so they didn't have to pay taxes. So just keep in mind that there's a lot of issues, and I'm not saying that you have to, I'm not making a stand that you've got to do it. I'm just saying you got to be aware of the consequences if something goes wrong on a cash plan. So you also have to consider, if you are going to go out and hire somebody yourself, not through an agency, what happens if they get hurt on the job? What happens if they don't do what they're supposed to do, or they don't show up, or they just quit? Can you fire them? I mean, what's going to happen then if you say, hey, I hired you to move in and take care of me, and I don't want you, you got to move out. Do they have a claim to stay in your house? I mean, there's all these legal issues there. And what about tax issues? If you get caught, you fire somebody, and then they go report you and say, hey, they weren't paying Social Security on me, and blah, 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 then you got the whole IRS nightmare as well, too. So you have to be very aware of that. But again, if you're in a situation where you're paying for care coming in through an agency, it doesn't matter. Those cash benefits are great for that. If you're paying, you know, basically living with a child and you're just saying, hey, I'm just going to contribute $5,000 to the household per month because I'm living here, you can do that. That's not a problem at all. But just be aware of that. So that's the difference. Formal, licensed healthcare worker, informal can be somebody that you hire or a family member. You've burned another hour with us here on Long Term Care Radio. Thanks so much. And again, very, very Merry Christmas to all of you. I hope you just have a safe, wonderful time. Enjoy what time you have with your family, even if it's a smaller get together this year. We will be back next Saturday, the day after Christmas, with a new show. So take care. We'll see you then.
Thanks for listening to Long Term Care Radio with Brian Ott. Event info, planning resources, and long-term care radio podcasts can all be found at 525longtermcare.com. To schedule an appointment with Brian Ott, call 425-748-8188. That's 425-748-8188. For more information on the show or to sign up for a free long-term care planning class, visit 525longtermcare.com. Tune in next Saturday morning at 8 to Long Term Care Radio with your host, Brian Ott, on Cairo Radio.